Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And as promised, well, yeah, in the promos, we promised this. Wow, the show's coming to you from Europe. That's right. Now, I'm in the Czech Republic, Prague, to be specific. And yeah, I mean, I know this program is always trend-setting and forward-thinking. But today, I am literally coming to you from the future. Now, we're 9 hours ahead, so you can do the math. It is very early in the morning here, and not a whole lot of people out on the street. I'm looking out the window here, and it's still fairly quiet. There's an occasional tram that rolls by. And let me set the scene a little bit. So Prague is a very, very old city. I mean, it has the street outside that I'm on is probably at least 1,000 years old. And Europe's a funny place because we talk about in the States all the time about things being old, right? We have and Californians especially. Oh my gosh, we're always talking. Oh, that place. Oh, that's they live in a beautiful old home. Yeah, it's like Hearst Castle, you know, 1920s, right? So, yeah, and even in the East Coast, you got the Pilgrims and Revolutionary War, and it's just, you know, it's just not that long ago, really. And here, even something that's old, there's something older underneath it. You know, there are a lot of churches where you go and you go, oh, this is beautiful, and it's 500 years old, and then you go in the basement, and there are Roman ruins. There's a foundation that was built 2,000 years ago. So I think it makes it really hard whenever they're digging. Like right now, I think they're building a new tunnel or a new subway line here. And they have to stop it every who knows how often because they come upon some significant archaeological dig. And you know, and we get hung up on, what is it, Indian burial grounds? I mean, that's the big thing, right? Somebody's trying to dig a ditch somewhere and you know, 3.5 Indians show up and say you can't, I don't know. Anyway, but here it's a big deal. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff everywhere. And the history is so rich. And so I'm landing earlier, well, not, was it last night? I'm losing track of time. I'm landing in Prague, and this is a place that I love. And if you've listened to the program, you know that I, you know, my family's from here and I've got a lot of heart here. All my family lives here. And so I'm landing in the city and it's this really familiar, lovely sight. I can see there's a castle up on the hill. And as you know, you come in, if you're landing from a certain direction, you can see it. And so I start to get always really excited right as I'm coming in. And last night was no different. And I thought, you know, this is my special place. And this is I love to be here. And then I think, you know, everybody's got that place. And this is mine. And I thought, you know, it was not always a comfortable place to be. I mean, for my parents who grew up here, I mean, they ran away. I mean, my dad literally snuck out of the country because he was escaping a very oppressive regime that took control of this country for 40-odd years. And it wasn't until I was a young boy, in fact, I think I was about nine or 10, I was able to come back here with my parents and visit for the first time. And so my memories of this country really involved this post-communist era, the 1990s and on. And it's interesting to me because, you know, if I just go back a few hours before this, so when I'm, what was this now? The presidential debate, that was Tuesday night. Oh, I'm so turned around. So Tuesday night, I'm at the airport and it's killing me because I want nothing more than to watch the debate live. I want to be informed. I want to be able to get on this program and say that I got the first impression before everybody else tried to give me theirs. I couldn't do it because I was right in the process of getting to the airport and boarding the plane. But I'm walking through. You know how the airport, they've got those little airport bars and restaurants, and they've got TVs everywhere, and people are watching the debate. And so I'm walking by, and I can see, you know, people, you know, body language, and I even overheard a few snippets. And generally speaking, I mean, people were really apathetic isn't even the word. I mean, they just were over it. And I think you read some of that too. I've read some, you know, it's the vice president. It's just, this election. How many times have you had a friend or somebody at work tell you, this election? Politics. And you know, the interesting thing is that there are places. I'm here in one of those places right now. There are places where an election was not always something that was automatic. Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing, these countries actually did have some form of elections, but it was meaningless. There was one party, and there were a few, you know, additional parties put in, but it's not relevant. It was a one-party system. The Communist Party ran everything. You know how excited people were here when the first elections were held? It was nothing like what I saw in the airport the other day. I mean, I read this Washington Post article, and by the way, if you know that Cain ate it. When the Washington Post is begrudgingly giving Pence some kudos. So I'm reading the WashPo article, and one of the takeaways from this goofball journalist is that you know, we should just do away with it. Why are we even doing vice presidential debates? I mean, that's right. Why even engage in political discourse? Yeah, I mean, first of all, when people tell you, I'm over this, I hate politics, do you think that's really, I always wonder, is that really it? Robbie, what do you think? It's not always that. It's probably less that and more, I don't want to talk about this. But also, I think that a lot of people really don't want to critically engage. I mean, they don't. They don't want to think about stuff. And here's my point with all of this. So I'm landing in Prague. I'm looking at this beautiful place. I'm feeling the warm fuzzies. And I realize that elections have consequences. You know, it wasn't that long ago, right after the war here, that more than a few people thought, you know, we've been through so much turmoil. This country has been through so much, meaning World War II and even World War I. You know what we need? What we need is we need a government that's going to take care of us. We need a government that's going to be compassionate. We need a government that's going to not leave anyone behind. And so began a creeping ideological shift toward socialism. And socialism, of course, sounded great to people. It was a winning idea. I mean, the premise of it being that, of course, the state was going to take care of everything and problems would magically... Robbie, what are you smiling at? What are you laughing at? By the way, I can see him. You're 5,000 miles away. Do you know that? Can you just think about this technology? It's crazy. Well, you're laughing, but the same mentality exists today. I think that's why you're laughing. I mean, the idea was that somehow magically money was going to appear out of thin air and pay for a cradle to grave welfare state. Now, it wasn't called that. It was wrapped up in all sorts of big words. Compassion. Kindness. Soft. You know, the terms that people bought into. And pretty soon, you know, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, you know, you had a system of government that took socialism and radicalized it, took it to the next level. And the only way a system that doesn't produce anything can fund itself is through aggressive appropriation of other people's property. Yeah, Margaret Thatcher, famous quote, you know, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. And so what happened was, is all of a sudden, you know, the government, the Czech government would roll up and, you know, and they would take somebody's house, take over a business. Remember, like Venezuela, another shining example of things working. So I'm eventually watching this debate. And I think one of the best lines in it, I mean, I just, you know, because Kane, the whole time I'm looking at it, he looks like the Joker. Okay, I mean, if you put face makeup on Kane, he'd look like the Joker. But style aside, the big argument here, the thing that I loved when Pence shut him down, well, of course, you're thinking like a career politician. And career politicians, you know, that's the problem. Career politicians live in fantasy land. You and I, we live in Realville. I mean, we live in reality. You have a job, you have a business, you have bills to pay. And the politician, you know, these guys up in Washington and in Sacramento, you know, if they need more money, they just borrow it. They could run up a deficit. And better yet, if they're liberal, they know where they can reach to get more money. If they want a special program, if they've made a promise to the voters of things that they're going to deliver on, where's that money going to come from? You. That's right. Eventually, the long arm of the government will find its way into your pocket. And if you think you're not that fat cat that Hillary and her people are talking about, if you think that the rich people that Hillary's talking about coming after, no, it's you and me. I mean, I'm telling you, and eventually that's what happened here. I've got to tell you, so my parents' country, where I am at today, went from being this great wealthy country before the war, survived the war, you know, barely, but survived it, was beginning to come out of it economically. And then socialism came. And slowly all these small businesses, right, small businesses got gobbled up by bigger businesses and state-run companies and eventually just the state. And there was no competition. There weren't, you know, if there was a particular service that needed to be delivered, I don't know, let's call it, you know, dry cleaning. You know, there was only one laundry in an entire town, and it was owned by the government. And so every business wasn't run like FedEx or like your neighborhood cleaners or your neighborhood restaurant, but it was all run like the DMV and the post office, right? Nobody cared. And the net result was the entire economy came to a grinding halt. And 40 years of that created, I mean, it looked post-apocalyptic here. I've always talked about this. And in the years since, and this is the real thing, this is where you have to understand that Bernie Sanders and the left are so far afield in all of this. In the years that followed, when the regime ended, when it was defeated ideologically, it ran out of money. It literally could not survive. What you are seeing in Venezuela today is another great example of it. Eventually, socialism runs out of the ability to feed itself. There's nothing, there's no there. And so what happened was, it collapsed, capitalism came back, and you know what? The country today is unrecognizable in a good way from where it was when I first saw it. And the reality is, folks, I got to be honest with you, it's quite simple. You've people, and this is true for us right now. I feel like we're at such a crossroads in America. We're in a funny place where we've, you know, for whether you like the candidates or not, whatever you think of Hillary as a person or think of Trump as a person, they could not represent ideologically two more diametrically opposed positions. And, you know, we've got to look into our hearts as Americans and decide, you know, are we the kind of country that fosters small business, that fosters entrepreneurship, that doesn't punish its entrepreneurs, you know, or are we the kind of country that wants to move toward European-style socialism? So when we come back, I want to tell you just some great examples of European socialism. Since I'm the voice from the future, right? I'm coming to you 9 hours ahead. Well, maybe I need to come to you right now 9 years ahead and forecast what America is going to look like after 8 years of a Hillary Clinton presidency. All right, we'll take a brief break and we'll be back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Any drug that would make me eat a Taco Bell, I don't want any part of. Like, I don't want any part of that. And we're back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And, well, yes, the show is coming to you from Europe, as promised. And yes, right from the heart of Europe, from a place called Prague, which is in the Czech Republic, a beautiful city. And we were just musing before the break about what would happen, since we're at this crossroad election, and you've got these two candidates that couldn't be more diametrically opposed from one another. You know, there almost are these two doors. You know, you open door number one, and there's a certain road and a certain path, and you open door number two, and there's a very different path. And so, you know, in the sense that elections have consequences, I'm looking at it here as I've landed here, and well, I've only been here a few hours, but I'm already reminded about some of the big differences that many of us back in America don't realize between us, America, and Europe. You know, one of the big ones, and you'll be surprised by this. One of the big ones is there are, in most countries in Western Europe, you are not allowed, you cannot buy because they are not to be sold. They're not, the sale is prohibited of, for example, Mein Kampf. Now that's, you know, that's Hitler's book, and it's not a very good book. But my point being, you know, doesn't that shock you a little bit or surprise you? I think for most Americans, we grow up with the sense that we can say pretty much anything. I mean, we risk, you know, getting punched in the face, but you can speak and say what you want, and you can own any book. You know, the concept, we don't have banned books. And we think actually of book banning as like a Nazi thing, right? Ironically, right? So it was Hitler that burned books and banned books. But his own book is actually banned by many countries that have been modernly built from the ground up by left-wing liberals. I mean, think about that. You know, the whole concept classically of a liberal was that they're open-minded and fair. But it's not like that here. And I'll tell you one of the things that is key in this election is I think that our freedom of speech really in the US is under assault. And we call the whole agenda has a different name. It's called political correctness. And you know, we always talk about it here on the program about college campuses and the crazy things that you can and can't do there, can and can't say. But it really has encroached into our private lives even, has it not? And it may not yet come from government, but it certainly is something that is pushed by certain politicians. And I'll tell you, one of the you know, things that my dad would always tell me is that the first thing that a government that wants to control its people does is they control what they can and can't say. Because as long as we're able to talk about things, as long as we're able to disagree openly, then, you know, if there's something going on that isn't right, we can address it, can't we? But you know what's astounding in this election? Why 2016 is so fascinating to me is that, you know, it's the left, you know, people who are diehard on the left, and I mean pretty much everybody in the media, for example. If you say that you're for Trump, that you like Trump, I mean, what's the reaction? Oh my God. It's hand-wringing, right? It's disgust. It's name-calling. It's you're a deplorable. You don't even deserve a response. And this is a problem because it silences the debate. I mean, like him or not, Trump is bringing up some very valid points, which is why his message is resonating. And so there are some key differences, I think, between him and Hillary. And I know that, but there's some specific things where we would end up more like Europe than I think we want if we end up going down the Hillary path, opening that door. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about those some of those things specifically because I think they are worthwhile. They're worthwhile to address. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
And we are back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And yes, it's true. I don't know, did you hear the promos? We're talking about stinky cheese. Well, okay, you missed it. All right, well, so we're actually coming to you from Europe. I don't want to get too inside baseball here, but you know, the show is very important to me. And so you don't leave behind what's important to you. So when I've hit the road and I'm taking the show with me, although I've got Robbie here on the screen, so I can, you know, this is just crazy. I can see you all the way back at the studio. And, how is it there today, Robbie? Everything good? Yeah. Holding down the fort. Good. Now it's, what is it? 7:30 there? So, you know, it is really early here in the morning, but we're 9 hours ahead. So bear with us. Okay. I'll have more to report about Europe as I kind of experience it here, and bring it to you every night. But I do think, you know, we're talking about the election and I'm telling you, you know, this is a country where not that long ago, earlier in my lifetime, where there were not, this country did not have free elections. And I still remember, I came here roughly, I think, 3 weeks after the communist regime, a very oppressive government was toppled by events that followed the end of East Germany, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and so things very quickly, you know, fell apart here too, thankfully. And about 3 weeks later, me as a young kid, I end up in this country visiting it for the first time with my father, who hadn't been back for 20 odd years. And I remember two things. I remember a lot of things, but two important things. One, I never saw this kind of poverty ever in my life. I mean, there was nothing to buy in the stores. Shelves were empty. People were all wearing basically the same kind of clothing. The cars were terrible. Everything was dirty. Everything was falling apart. And the other thing I remember is that everybody was so happy. And they were happy because they were free. And one of the most important things, you know, one of the most important things to people was freedom of speech. Oh, I'm serious. Because before, I'll tell you, when I landed last night here in Prague, I landed at the airport, which is now named after Václav Havel, who was the famous Czech playwright. But he ended up in jail over and over and over again. Because he spoke out against the government. So freedom of speech, it was a big deal here. And we were, you know, I was talking to you guys about last segment that there are countries in Europe where you can't own certain books. You know, there are certain books that are not allowed. And that's just an anathema to us as Americans. And so I'm always leery of when, and you hear it all the time, by the way. You hear the American left talk about Europe as this shining city on a hill. I mean, how many times do you say, well, you know, in Sweden they have ... Like we're supposed to go, oh, Sweden, well, why did you say it earlier? My God, if it's Sweden has it going, well, then I'm all in. I'm sorry, Hillary, you got me there. You know... You had me at Stockholm. And the truth is, let me tell you, the truth is, you know, you've got to look at the specifics here. And I look at, you know, for example, you know, when Trump talks about deregulation, I'm going to tell you, I want to get into that. You know, that's a big deal here. Everything here is so regulated. It's not just a speech, but it's the regulation of business and enterprise. And it's something that libs love to do. They love to regulate us. They love to tell us, what's the latest one? Cow farts in California, right? What a load of bull, you know what? Okay, so when we come back, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what deregulation means. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
If you want to see every kind of person in the world, go to Disneyland. Go to Disneyland. Go there on a Saturday and prepare to meet humanity face to face. It's crazy. And how many times do you see some enormous woman who is shaped like a blimp and she's with a guy that's a little, tiny little stick figure guy? And it works for them. You know, he likes that. He's into it. I assume. I've learned not to ask questions. Sam Rogowski here. Just because I'm in Europe doesn't mean I can't rag on Canada. Apparently this guy in Ontario got arrested for running himself over with his own car. you heard that right. So I guess he falls out of his front seat, his driver's seat, onto his driveway, which is at an incline. His car isn't in park, so it rolls over him, crushes his leg. Now, police come to the scene, realize that the guy's intoxicated, and charge him with a DUI. I mean, there you have it. Now, do you think he called Sweet James? I don't know if Sweet James can help him or Sweet Baby Jesus. I don't think anybody can help this guy. But listen, if you or a loved one have been in an accident where some other idiot has done something to you, here's a couple of things. Here's some things to remember. First of all, don't talk to their insurance company. Don't talk to them. Just get the information and then call attorney James Bergener. You want a good guy on your side who's going to represent you and make sure that you get what's fair. Don't talk to the insurance company. All they're doing is just looking out for themselves and looking to find ways that they can use to wiggle out of paying you what's fair. All right, so here, what do? You got to give them a call. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, and the show is coming to you today, not from an undisclosed location deep behind the Orange Curtain, but rather from the Czech Republic, the heart of Europe, the city of Prague. Yes, you heard that right. I'm 9 hours ahead. It is, it's very early in the morning, and I'm so happy to be here. I wouldn't miss this for the world. And in this case, somewhere in the world I am. Now, we're talking about politics again, and with a little bit of travel pearls along the way. But I'll tell you this deregulation business. You know, we're talking about, you know, what the outcome of this upcoming election in the U.S. will mean for us. And I really do. I'll tell you. You know, people say, "Well, why, Sam? Why do you like this Trump guy?" I mean, it's one thing is liking the Trump guy, and the other thing is not liking the other viable candidate. Right? There's only two viable candidates, and I got to pick one. And I cherish my right to vote. I exercise my right to vote. And so, what kind of an America do I want to see myself in 4 to 8 years? And here's one of the key things that I know, and I can tell you this as a small business, well, mid-sized business owner now, where we're growing, but as a relatively small business owner, I can tell you what is so what makes owning a business so frustrating. The number one thing, it's actually not even necessarily taxes. It's regulation. There are so many little rules that are, I'm convinced they're not real rules meant to ensure that things work in a certain way, but rather these are like gotcha rules, and they're both on the federal and the state level. So don't just tell me it's because I'm in California where things are even more screwed up than pretty much anywhere else. But these are gotcha rules. These are little technicalities, but you know what? Any business owner will tell you, any business, even large corporations, the amount of money that is spent on compliance, that is spent on people whose only job it is to navigate the rules and make sure all the boxes are checked, you know, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And that labor, that expense has nothing to do with bringing a better product to the market. It has nothing to do with improving the value of your services. It has nothing to do with anything other than satisfying some loop, some hoop that the government wants you to jump through. And from my vantage point, when I'm listening to these two candidates, and when I'm listening to these two vice presidential candidates the other night, there's a clear difference. You've got one guy who lives in the real world, who gets it, who's, well, for better or for worse, been jumping through various hoops. And then you got another guy and another gal who are just career politicians who've never lived in the real world, have no concept of what it entails, and think they're going to come in for 48 years and what? Make this a better environment for us? I don't think so. All right. Back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
And And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, coming to you from the Czech Republic. And, well, look, one of the things I'm going to try to do here when I'm, you know, because I'm going to have two more shows from the road. And so I want to bring you some opinion from the street, you know, because I, you know, it's one thing, it's very interesting to get perspectives on America and on American politics and on American culture from people not that are just from another place, but actually live and exist in a completely different place. So I'm gonna try to do that because I always know it's interesting. I do that whenever I travel. I'm always curious to see what people think of us, and I'm also, you know, one thing I also want to do is I'm gonna spend a bit of time watching. I'm gonna watch some of the news here, and because it's so funny, the number one station that they have here that is from America is CNN, and you know, if you listen to the program, you know, I mean, CNN, I mean, when I got to the airport, this was the funniest thing. Christiana Monpour, you know, I think she belongs to the Arafat Lonely Hearts Club. You know, she, I can't believe she still has a job in TV. I mean, you know, so she's there, and the way she's talking, you would think that Kane annihilated Pence. I mean, CNN, literally CNN is Baghdad Bob when it comes to news reporting. You'll remember he was the intrepid journalist, state mouthpiece, reporting from Baghdad, saying that the troops were, Iraqi forces were holding the line. They're holding the line. Everything is A-OK. And behind him, probably, what was it? I mean, metric tons of ordnance are exploding. It looks like the New Year's fireworks at Disneyland, as Rumsfeld's shock and awe is literally turning Baghdad into a pancake. And there is Baghdad Bob. Wasn't that his name? And he would just stand there and say, nothing is the problem now, everything is okay. I mean, crazy. And that is what CNN is like. And the worst part about Europe, I'm telling you right now, is that all they do here is they tune into CNN for 15 minutes and then say, aha, I know what America's all about. I know what, let me tell you, Sam, about that Trump guy. What are people over there thinking? And I'll say, yeah, I'll tell you what they're thinking. You got a few minutes? All right, well, back tomorrow, 7 p.m., you have a great night, and see you then. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.